everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, we are tackling one of the trickiest parts of traveling with kids, packing.
We believe that packing is more of an art than a science, and every family has to find their own personal style. So we are going to share five of our own packing principles that have helped us reduce the stress of getting out of the house and onto the road. Hopefully they will help you as well.
And we are so pleased to be introducing our newest guest correspondent, Carrie Cox from the great state of Missouri. We know we have plenty of listeners out there in the heartland, and after listening to this campground review, you will definitely want to reserve a spot at the Old 86 Campground near Branson, Missouri. Listen to find out why.
All of this and so much more on episode 36 of RV Family Travel Atlas. Pack up those kids. So, I think we should remind everybody that we published our first ebook.
Oh.
I think it's sold hundreds of thousands of copies.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's on some list out there, right?
Top book on top Acadia on National Acadia. Park by RV Family Travel Atlas.
Yes, it is.
It's number
our
top
one.
Seller.
It's number one on that list.
It's our best-selling ebook. Mm-hmm. So could you tell everybody a little bit about the ebook and where they can buy it?
Yes, I can. You can, if you get Kindle, Nook, whatever, wherever you get your ebooks, it's available on, okay?
We're platform agnostic.
We are. We don't.
We're everywhere and we're nowhere.
Okay. No, don't say
everywhere.
That. We are. So anyway, go on your ebook provider and type in
your
RV
ebook provider.
Yeah, that's okay. Agnostic, right? And type in RV Family Travel Atlas, Acadia National Park Adventure Guide.
And for the price of a
latte,
frappuccino, latte,
caramel, cappuccino,
ice cream cone.
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Probably
you could
less
buy
than an
our
ice cream cone.
Really fun 40-page mm-hmm. ebook about Acadia National Park. And if you're going there this summer, you
right.
really should read this.
There are things here.
We discovered secrets.
No, there are things here in this book that you will not find
in another travel book. And that's not
right.
every single thing.
No,
but there
no.
are some recommendations
right.
there that you will not say in your typical travel
yeah.
guide.
Yeah. And then there's also our different blog posts about different places around there, which I think really helped to paint a picture
right.
of, you know, just
and
the experience.
And those blog posts are included in the
yes,
ebook at
exactly.
no additional charge.
No, right. That's bonus.
Bonus.
Not really.
So we're heading out to a Jellystone Park for Memorial Day weekend, and mm-hmm. we're really excited, and we'll be doing some writing for the Camp Jellystone blog mm-hmm. about this park, so we'll update you on that next week.
Yeah.
Now, if you're heading out camping for Memorial Day weekend, please hashtag your Instagram photos with hashtag RVFTA.
Yeah.
Some of you are using hashtag RVFamilyTravelAtlas.
That's fine.
That's ambitious of you.
But we just don't check it that often.
Well, no, I do check
do
it,
you?
But
oh,
I'm just saying
it.
They
okay.
don't need to type in that many
it's
letters.
Long, right?
Hashtag RVFTA
that's
works.
That's exhausting.
And if you take a great shot, we'll repost
we
it.
We regram. Yeah, so that's what
that's
we like
a
to
lot
do.
Of fun
to
for
regram
us.
It. People love seeing
hashtag RVFTA people.
Photos.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, you had an email you wanted to read.
Right.
And you had a very specific reason why you wanted to read this email. So what was it about this email that made you kind of excited to read it on air?
Well, I'll say that this is the email, okay?
Like, this email boils us down to our essence,
so, well,
to our core.
I'll read the email, and I'm going to read it uninterrupted.
I can't interrupt you?
No, don't interrupt me. And then we will go through the points.
Point by point, why this is such a great email.
Why this is the
we
email.
We score emails. We have an internal scoring system for emails.
This is the email.
And if you get 10 points, we read it on air. Now, I can't tell you anything more than that
right,
about
no.
our scoring system.
That's our hidden algorithm.
But this email, 20 points.
Proprietary. Okay. So here it is. And it's from Philip. And he wrote to us, dear Jeremy and Stephanie, my wife and I finally took the plunge. After years of dreaming about it, we purchased a new to us pop-up camper at the end of last season, and we are planning on making our very first trip with our two children to Lake and Woods at your rally.
Our big rally.
Our reservations are made and our t-shirts are on their way. As parents of as parents of two young children, listening to your podcasts really resonate with us. Keep up the great work. See you in Pennsylvania. P.S. Your accents are great. NPR would be lucky to have you.
Score. They would.
Okay. What are the talking points of this email? This is not a long email. And basically, he boiled it down into every single thing that you could possibly say that would make us happy.
It was like a sonnet, really, in terms of how condensed it was.
First of all, they just bought their first RV.
We love first-time buyers.
That is a huge part of our listener community that we never even expected to have. And we are thrilled to have you listening.
Because people looking to make their first purchase are researching and finding things like podcasts.
Right. And it just means so much to us that you're joining us at the beginning of your journey in the RV. It really, because we were there not so long
ago. It's exciting.
Yes. Okay. So they're just joining that. Oh, they got a pop-up. Oh, yeah.
We've talked a lot about pop-ups.
Out in the pop-up. Okay. Oh, wait. They're making their very first pop-up trip to our rally. Our rally.
Brilliant move.
Is their first RV trip. Okay. And they will be wearing t-shirts.
So we...
RV family travel t-shirts. Okay. Look, it keeps going here. You can't possibly get any better, because then if you listen to our podcast, you know there are two things that make us laugh: accent remarks and NPR remarks, because that means you listen to our podcast all the time,
right?
And you know that this is a very big part of
Stephanie,
who we are.
What Stephanie hasn't mentioned is this email came with a $1,000 check as well.
No. We'd be out partying right now, not making a podcast.
So anyway, we appreciate that email. And we love the fact that there are first-time buyers out there, and there are people out there just pondering their first RV purchase. And we hope we can be helpful.
Oh my, I'm so excited that these people are coming to our rally in their new pop-up camper.
It's pretty cool.
It's like a flash to the past, you know? It's like, wow.
Yeah.
How cool is that? It's going to be very exciting.
Fond memories of the pop-up. There'll be a couple pop-ups there, I think.
Okay.
At the rally.
A-liner.
There'll be somebody in a tent, somebody in a Class A, somebody in a hybrid.
Somebody doing face makeup.
There's some face painting kind of stuff going on. Cornhole contest.
You can't even imagine. I've got so many toast sites to give away. I don't even know
what
to do with myself.
We have some swag to give away. Is it swag or swag?
Swag. People say
swag. That's what I thought.
But there's no H in that. We'll talk about this off air.
Okay. So look, we'll be back in a minute with this week's featured topic, packing up the kids, which is based on a column that Stephanie wrote for KOA's Greater Outdoors blog. Mm-hmm. So do us a favor. Head over to KOA's Greater Outdoors blog. You could find that post within about the last 10 posts they've put up. And sharing is caring, people.
Or if you're on their email list, you got the email.
Yeah, so head in there, read the article, and share it, and that shows us a little love, and we would appreciate it.
It's
so
a high five.
It's like a new media high five. So we'll be back in a minute with this week's featured topic: pack up those kids. So you can't go RVing without packing up the kids first, can you?
That's true. And it's an unfortunate thing.
You got to pack.
Because it causes a lot of stress.
It can cause a lot of stress.
I think that for most people, it is maybe the least fun part of the whole experience. I would imagine.
Unpacking the kids can be pretty fun, too.
Right.
I don't know if we'll ever do a podcast on that.
No.
That's just nothing fun about that.
Sorry, guys. You're on your own.
But here's the thing. I think that packing up the kids and the RV used to be very stressful, but stressful for us.
Yeah.
And now I feel like you have led the way, and it's not so bad anymore.
Well, that's always what happens for people as they get more experience with something, is you do something again and again and again, and it causes certain stressors, and then you think, let's try to fix this, right?
Or people like you think, let's try to fix this. People like me are willing to just do it wrong over and over and over again.
You might be right on that.
What's that one definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing again and again and
expecting
different
results. Right.
Yes.
So you're not like that.
No, because I am an elementary school teacher, and I think that has to
refine, refine, refine.
You do. Any situation that does not make me happy, I say, What am I going to change?
This girl goes and gets a bigger hammer. That's what she does. Okay? So honestly, you have, I think, we don't want to give the impression that it goes perfectly.
No.
But I honestly, never get that impression. I mean, the way we're doing it now, it's not torture. You know, and it's borderline enjoyable. Well, I don't know if I want to go that far, but it's almost enjoyable.
Is address some of the hot spots. Okay. We've looked at the places that caused the most stress or that didn't seem to be like working well or working seamlessly.
Yeah. Those hot spots are called Max, Theo, and Wes.
And we tried.
And we've tried to neutralize them.
Right. You try to kind of create systems that help address the tricky parts. Okay. So, in doing that, we kind of like, all right, we came up with some rules. And usually we talk about these things. That's the thing.
And then we write blog posts about them.
Well,
and then
right.
We give them to KOA to publish.
And then we give them to KOA. Right. So that's what happened with this was I think that KOA asked us for a packing piece specifically.
Apparently other parents are out there worried about packing or stressing about packing.
Sometimes those, like we said with our 10 reasons to go on an RV vacation or RV vacations are better. We said, Jayco asked us for that. And we thought, let's sit down and make
wonder
a list.
Wonder what's on their mind.
Right. So then we did the same thing with this. KOA says, how about a packing piece? And we sit there and we think, what are the things that we've done that have helped us get on the road easier? We've said it before. We work full time. So oftentimes our trips come very close to our working schedules. We're, you know, getting ready for a trip as we're working in
right.
the days beforehand.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So it's true.
Oh, those weekend trips. I mean, there's mm-hmm. not a long leisurely amount of time to get
yeah.
packed up.
Yeah.
So should we dive into
mm-hmm.
some of these these ideas that you
so
have?
So we came up with five. We thought, what are the five things that we do that have made things easier for us than they were? I would say the first 2 years, maybe.
And also these things, they make the actual process of packing easier, but then
yeah.
they also make the trips
exactly.
better. If
exactly.
you do them right.
Yep.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So number one, overprepared is better than underprepared.
All right.
What do you mean by that?
Right. So I am not naturally a person who is overprepared. I've said that before on this podcast. I've admitted that I don't own a diaper bag. That when I go to the park with my children, there are not like there aren't bags of sippies.
You're not a survivalist either. There's not gallons of water in the basement.
No.
Or anything,
right? So I'll be all the time to my kids like, oh, we don't have a change of clothes for you. Sorry, I guess
right.
we're going to have to dry off. I just don't go with loads of stuff.
And if the apocalypse comes, we have a problem.
Yeah. Oh, totally. We are not prepared.
Yeah.
Apocalypse, please do not come.
Apocalypse, not now.
No. So anyway, I was not naturally one to be overprepared. I think that over the first couple of years of RVing, I realized that when I tried to be a minimalist on our trips,
it backfired.
It
backfired.
I'd be like,
particularly on the weekend trips, I mm-hmm. think were a hot spot for that kind
well,
of failure.
I would think things like, I don't want to pack too many clothes for them. We're only going to be gone for this many days. Well,
apparently, kids at a campground can change their clothes 8 times in a day.
You know what? It's okay. They get dirty. They're outside playing.
They should be getting dirty.
Exactly.
They should be running through a lot of
clothing.
And
it took me a while to be like, hey, this is what happens. It's different than what happens at home, and that's awesome.
And that's cool.
Okay.
We're good with that.
Can I just share a personal story from we were at Turkey
I'll let you.
We were at Turkey Swamp Park, camping close to home, a couple weeks ago, and there was a couple there with their two kids, and the forecast was very warm for that weekend. The forecast was like 80-something degrees and sunny
right.
all weekend long. Well, this weird fog rolled in at the beginning of the weekend, and it didn't lift. So what was supposed to be a beautiful, clear weekend ended up being kind of cool
particularly
and
in the
cloudy.
Morning.
Mm-hmm.
The morning was very cool.
So I was chatting with this couple. They were so nice, and they said, we had to go around the corner to wherever and get sweatshirts.
Right.
Because I only packed like summer clothes. And I wanted to say, I didn't because I'm not a rude person. I wanted to say, oh my goodness, that was me a few years ago and
right.
never again. Because that would happen to me enough that I realized it is always worth it to have every type of clothing with you on every trip.
What's interesting though about that couple, they had been seasonal campers who had just kind of switched to more of the weekend warrior model, going mm-hmm. to different campgrounds for
right.
whatever, I can't remember what their reasoning was, but they had moved out of their seasonal spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you could see that they're actually kind of newbies to
right.
the weekend adventure.
Right. Right. So I'm telling you, I don't care when it is, what time of year it is, where we're going. I pack warm clothes. I pack cool clothes. I pack
extra bathing suits. Clothes to get wet. Extra
exactly.
shoes. You keep extra shoes in the camper.
Oh my goodness. Because we had issues with kids going out in the morning in the dew grass and having wet
shoes.
And then we'd be going somewhere for the rest of the day.
And
their shoes would be wet.
Minimalism does not work there. And you always mm-hmm. say, we have an RV. We have the space
yes.
to be overprepared. Now look, if you're in a Class B or you're in a pop-up camper or something small, well, the game's a little bit different
right.
for you. But even when we had the pop-up camper, there was storage room for us to be overprepared.
Yeah, I just think that when you have kids, it is worth it to just have all of the things that it takes to make you comfortable with those kids on the RV.
And you're not
trip.
Just talking about clothing.
No, I'm not. And thank you, because I do want to say
you're welcome.
That you're being so supportive.
You're surprised.
Yeah, wow, look. Another thing, I am not a medicine person either. I am not one of those
You're
people.
You're not a medicine woman?
No, I'm not one of those people that has one of those big medicine cabinets and everything. And
we have Band-Aids.
I think I've mentioned before that I had a friend who had said something along the lines of she knew where the nearest emergency room was when she went on any trip. And I was like, oh, that's really prepared. Wow, that's like cuckoo. And then the more that we did this, the more I realized, you know what? Sometimes when we're at home, someone wakes up at 1 a.m., 2 a.m. in the middle of the night, and they're sick.
Yeah.
So why couldn't that happen on the road? I realized, you know what? That could happen on the road. And I don't want, in the middle of the night, to be worried or stressed. So what I did was I...
Or to have to just go home.
Right. It to be an emergency.
To be a vacation ender.
Instead of something.
A bummer,
could
but not
manage.
An ender.
So I realized that I keep actually like not just a first aid kit, but like a little mini medicine cabinet in the RV.
And you pack
travel.
That up in the spring, beginning of the season.
Right.
Listen to our podcast on...
I don't leave it. In the RV, though, because medicine can't be in extreme temperatures. So
right.
I have
and the RV does get hot.
I have a little basket, actually. It's like a little box, and I bring it in. And it's up in our cabinet, and I just bring it out to the RV very easily. But it just has the basics, like the Tylenol, the eye drops, like whatever it is, the little sinus spray.
Like we have at home.
The little tricks, the over-the-counter stuff that when your kid all of a sudden gets that thing in the middle of the night or during the day, and you could give it a little bit of a treatment, it's not an emergency. It's done. So those kinds of things are worth it. Think about. Be overprepared.
And you feel more relaxed and secure knowing that those things are there.
And I've never used it.
Right.
But it's
but
there.
But knowing it's
and
there
it
is good for the
yes.
your psychology on mm-hmm. a vacation where you're supposed to be relaxing. So the second rule. Bring along a mixture of familiar and special items. Mm. So why don't you give us some examples of familiar items and special items?
Yeah. So this is something that we did for a long time when our boys were little. And it's nice because our six-year-olds are starting to transfer out of it. When they were little, we were religious about bringing all of their bed, like their bedding, their blankets,
all of it.
Their stuffed
like putting
animals.
It in a garbage bag
well,
and throwing it in the RV.
They loved it. They were so attached. And when we moved all that
our
stuff.
Our boys had a lot of stuffed animals. We should just
they
confess.
They are. They're those kids that like just have beds full of
like
stuff.
Like a dozen.
And you're like, how do you sleep like this? But they do. They love it.
They're like, how do we sleep without it?
Yeah. So we let them. We were very open with letting them bring the things that we felt would make the RV feel like home.
And it did feel like home to them.
It
and
did.
And it does to this day.
And we believe that that was a big part of it. We let them bring our home into our RV and make it theirs. It wasn't like all the separate stuff is in the RV and all the separate stuff
no,
is in the
No, and
home.
I'd say that they're just as comfortable in the RV as they are in their bedroom.
Yeah. And now it's nice. The older boys, I said last weekend, 2 weekends ago, I go, oh, you can bring 3 stuffed animals. Because I had a feeling they were
surprised
ready for
that
it.
That would fly.
It did
and
fly,
it did
though,
fly.
Didn't it? Because sometimes I think they're ready to move on. And I push it a little bit, and they're ready to move on, you know?
Right.
And they were. But Wes still gets his whole crib emptied out and brought into the camper because he needs that.
Give him
okay?
time.
So those are the familiar types of things. Now, also, food. We've talked about that on Camp Food Rules. bring the familiar food, the things you know they'll eat, so you're not worried about that. Then the special stuff. That's the yin and the yang. You also want them to look forward to the trip, that they're getting things that they don't get every day.
It's home. It has the comforts of home, but there's something unique and exciting about an RV trip.
So you know what? Keep a couple books, movies, toys,
just for the RV.
Games that are just out there, and they only come out when you're
RVing. And then it's like they've rediscovered How to Train Your Dragon 2 because they haven't seen it in 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then there it is in the RV.
And the toys are the same way. There's a couple of whatever, like those launcher toys,
It's almost like some parents do that rotation system with toys and things like that.
Oh, my gosh, which is a great idea,
it's
so high maintenance. Like, I can never do it.
But it's kind of a mini version of that. And it's true. They do. They head out in the RV and it's like, oh, we haven't seen that movie in a long time. Or, oh, we haven't read that book in a long time.
Yeah. And food-wise, it's the same thing. If kids know they get certain snacks and treats when they're camping, they really look forward to that. Okay. So you want to give kids, travel is not the easiest thing for kids. And I want to emphasize that as much as possible on this podcast, because it's important to know that one of the reasons why people have so much stress when they travel with kids is that it's hard for kids to get out of their comfort zone.
It is important to be thoughtful about the environment you're creating in your RV. And as opposed to a tent, with an RV, you have more opportunities to create an environment that is welcoming.
So make it like their little mini home away from home. Give them the things that make them feel all cuddly and cozy. And then also give them the special treats that make them feel like, we love the camper. And they will be so happy to go on their next camping
trip. And our boys are thrilled to go camping.
They are
every time.
Yeah.
Okay. So rule number 3, allow your kids to get involved and make choices. Now this was a real, that might sound like, what are you talking about? But this was a game changer for us. Mm-hmm. It really was.
And I would say we started this at the age of 3. I think 2 was 2.
No way.
No.
Yeah, that was
right?
Not happening.
Right. I think that it was the age of 3, which was 2 years into our camping. I think that
much so at the age of 4.
Oh, yeah. And now they're good. They know their jobs.
Well, like you said, you can bring 3 stuffed animals, right?
Right. So now we say, let them make choices. What we do is we give them very defined categories of things, and we give them the number of things
limitations
that they can bring.
You're in an RV, it's a smaller space,
right? So we have those like IKEA bins for toys in our regular house, like our real house, our playroom. So I give them 2 of them, and I say,
one for toys,
like, bring what you want in here.
But it has to fit in there.
It has to fit. Only what can fit. Because what happened was we started to let them help us pack, and what happened?
They went crazy. Look, we used to let the boys, we were so excited to leave on a camping trip. And they wanted to bring the entire house with them. Mm-hmm. Every toy they cared about.
They would start
every piece of clothing. And it was frantic. They were running in and out of the house, just literally tossing things in the RV. And it was frankly wild and out of control. And, you know, we had a few trips where we were just like, there's just too much stuff in the camper.
Because it was that weird sort of in-between place where we were saying, oh, we want to get them involved. We're so
excited.
We wanted to encourage that.
But the RV is a small, an RV can become cluttered so easily.
Mm-hmm. So now what we do is toys. I give them the bin. They fill up the toys. They have a drawer that they fill up with books. And they know now, just the books that can fit in that drawer.
It fits maybe 10 books, 12 books.
Yeah, and between all 3 of them, they have to decide, and they all have their favorite
books.
But
that, look, for the most trips that we take, that's plenty.
Yeah, and they also, and usually I say 5 movies. Now, it's funny. They'll sit there and they'll pull out all the movies, and they make different choices every time. And sometimes we look at it and we're like,
you want that?
You want
the Little Bear movie again?
The Little Bear movie?
I'm like, don't you want, what's that new movie that we like, that I like?
Big Hero 6.
Big Hero, I'm like, guys, let's bring Big Hero 6. Like, Dad will watch that with you. And they're like, no, we want the Little Bear movie.
We want the Little Bear movie. And the thing is that I let them make those choices. And again, I think that's the elementary school teacher in me. Like, I know how to allow kids to make a choice, and if they own that, they'll be okay with it.
And the high school teacher in me is like, no, you should bring this movie because it's better.
I'm limiting this. So what happens, though, is they never complain. They don't say, oh, we brought this book,
no,
but we wanted this.
I think in some deep part of their souls that they're also, as most of us are, even as adults, they're comforted by limitations, mm-hmm. that limitations actually sort of set them free.
Yeah. So I would suggest picking every category that you know of, like toy, book, movie, whatever you allow your kids to bring, and then giving your child. And like I said, we started this with three. So basically, as young as your kids are, I think you can start this. Give them very specific guidelines and allow them while you're packing your RV, because our kids do this while we're packing.
They carry it out to the RV, to their bed.
Okay, now it's time for movies, and they'll sit there.
And frankly, it is helpful to us in the process of packing.
Because it keeps them, busy while we pack.
And if mom and dad forget books or the movies, they're not going to forget.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so they are actually at age six. And even, you know, when they were four or five, definitely last year, they are actually helping us pack.
Mm-hmm.
They even come back and help me pick the firewood out and help me load up some firewood if I'm traveling in state, of course, dear
listener. Oh, we do it also with like sports equipment, sand toys.
Right.
Those are different categories of things that we'll say. I'll say, go to the backyard and get your sand toys.
So they have everything they need, but mm-hmm. in a quantity that is appropriate for the small space. Because you will find out quickly, if you're a new RVer out there, the RV can become a pretty amazing mess. Okay? So the next rule. Give your kids the tools to stay organized. Now, you mentioned those IKEA bins. Mm-hmm. What other tools have we given our kids to stay organized?
Well, again, we've talked about these on the podcast.
Worth talking about again.
It might seem funny that we recommend packing cubes when you are an RVer.
It's a cult, the packing cube cult.
Because you think, well, I have an RV. I shouldn't have to use like any sort of suitcasey kind of a thing, right?
Cubes really aren't suitcasey.
Okay. Here's what happens with kids. You put all their clothes into the back of the closet in the RV. Then it's all nice and organized. It's folded nicely. And then day two, and your kids have rooted through every single stack of clothing.
And dad.
Yeah.
I've confessed to this sin on the show before.
Okay. Everything's rooted through, unfolded. It's all a mess. The kids are like, where are the pants? Where are the shirts? Whatever. It's a wreck. It's a hot mess. So, packing cubes were revolutionary because I was able to communicate to the kids what needed to be where. I showed them, this packing cube is for your socks and underwear. This packing cube is for your t-shirts and long sleeve shirts. This is for your shorts and your pants. I laid it out for them, small, medium, large, and we put them at the end of each of their bunk beds. And I'm telling you, we've now done, I don't know, maybe five trips since we got the packing cubes.
At least.
Six trips, seven, maybe. And it is amazingly easy for them as 5 and 6 year olds
to find things and then to put them back.
Yes.
That's the miracle of packing cubes, is that they repack them because there's something fun about it.
Well, yeah, it's just like, it's very specific. It's like, oh, you don't have your bunkhouse cleaned up yet. Go clean up your bunkhouse before going outside. And they know they have to put those things into those cubes. Like, they just, it's easier for them to see that organization. It's so clear. It's crystal clear to them. Now, obviously, we have to do it for Wes, but it helps keep his clothes separate from the boys' clothes. And then
It's been a game changer.
Yeah. I hang up most of my clothes in the wardrobe, and then all the clothes that I can't hang up, I keep in my packing cubes. So I love them. I think that it has, oh my God, right? Like, I'm not exaggerating in the way that it's helped us keep clothing organized.
You know, we use the eBags packing cubes. We're not being paid to say that. And we've really have liked them, and the quality is definitely solid. And if you catch a sale, the price can be very, very reasonable.
They have colors.
And different ways in which to buy them.
But I like the different colors because the color-coded. Boys know what color they
and
are.
And having their own color mm-hmm. makes it more fun to put everything back at the end. Where if it's just like, hey, throw it in the closet, you know, it's not so exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So the last rule, don't forget to plan for a rainy day. Now, It sounds obvious, but a lot of people don't plan for a rainy day. And also, we recommend planning.
We didn't plan for
rainy. We recommend planning for a rainy day, even if it's not in the forecast.
Yeah.
Just always be ready for a rainy day or just a rainy morning.
Again, totally against our grain, because we're not those kinds of people. We are not, like, always be prepared Eagle Scout people. But that's okay.
We've three children now.
Okay. Do you remember the first rainy day that we ever had as RVers?
Cape Hatteras?
Yes. Okay. You do remember.
And the boys ended up basically puddle jumping.
They did. And that was, again, I always look at situations and I think, like, what is the lesson to be learned here? We woke up in the morning. It was pouring rain.
Right. And that campground floods.
And what were we thinking? Let's go home. Do you remember that?
Right. Because
it was like the last day. It was the day before the last
That's
day.
That's true. It was right at the end of the trip.
And I think it was supposed to rain for most of the day
or whatever. So we were actually thinking of just heading home.
And there was like this idea, like, let's get out of Dodge. Like, you can't have a RV vacation in the rain.
Well, when it rains out on Cape Hatteras, like, your stuff will float away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at the Cape Hatteras KOA, which we love. Like, if there's bodyboards on the ground or chairs, like, they'll end up 10 sites
right.
away.
The boys are 15 months old. To us, it seemed like there's nothing to do. Like,
oh, but what are to we- them.
Oh, my gosh.
They had so much fun.
Exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
That is the key here.
Kids love rainy days.
As soon as we let go of our perceptions about a rainy day.
And we stopped worrying about them being messy.
Messy, wet, dirty,
yeah, let
whatever,
the kids get outside.
We have pictures of them dancing
right.
through puddles.
Right.
They were as happy as could be once we were finally like, okay, now, where are we? Flash forward years later, they're not dancing through puddles in like their wet shorts anymore because we have rain gear. We were like, oh my gosh, you always have to have rain gear. Get your kids. Last year we had regular rain boots. This year I've recommended the Mayu boots for this reason specifically. This year, we're going to get the Mayu boots for the older boys. They just released the older boy versions, and Wes has them. Get raincoats. We love our Owl Bean. They're on our gear guide also. Get rain boots, and when it's raining, let your kids go outside and play in the rain, and they will be happy, and they'll have fun. We've hiked in the rain.
Yeah, if it's not raining too hard,
right.
we will go out. We will hike in a light rain.
Yeah.
Nothing dangerous, not crazy hikes. I mean,
no.
We will do,
yeah.
Look, and when the kids get older, I'll play wiffle ball with them in the rain. That can be really like almost more memorable than playing wiffle ball when it's not raining.
Now, another thing is we usually have a list of places that we're going to visit. Right on that
we have that
day.
List of indoor
and we
activities.
Leave it. We don't go there.
Yeah, we're not going somewhere inside.
Right. But that's not to do with packing, but just to say that we also have that backup. But the other thing that I do for a rainy day is I specifically have a bag and a box of things that my children never see unless it's raining. There are activities. There's like coloring books. There are activity books. There's crafts and. I don't let them have access to that at any given time.
Under lock and key.
Absolutely. It's actually in the back of my wardrobe, in the master bedroom. It's not accessible to them. And that means that if it is ever raining, there is something very exciting and very fun that they know I'll trot out. I remember another rainy day in Cape Hatteras that we had. We had the baby and it was raining and I trotted out my craft kit. We made invitations. We were camping with friends. We made invitations for a popsicle party that we were going to have later.
So you turned it into an event.
The boys made invitations for their friends for the popsicle party. We made popsicles, put them in the freezer. Then we did some crafts.
Right.
All of this is going on. Eventually the rain ends. Now there's popsicles and a popsicle party.
No one wants rain on a trip.
No.
But if it's, you know, if it's a week-long trip and we have a rainy day, I almost like it as long as it's limited and we're ready, which
yeah.
we are.
We just don't let it, yeah. we don't let it ruin our day. And if you pack right, it won't ruin your day because you're going to have all your rain gear and you're also going to have some really fun crafts and activities for your kids to do when it is raining. And that's okay. It'll get you through the day and you'll be happy.
So listen, we hope those five tips help you pack up those kids for your next great RV trip. And we will be back in a second to introduce our newest guest correspondent from the great state of Missouri. Don't Don't you just love having guest correspondents on the show?
Well, yeah.
Let them do some of the work for
us. My goodness. Yeah, what campground have you visited?
Let them kill some airtime, for goodness sake. We can't visit every campground.
People.
It's a big country out there.
Yeah, have reasonable expectations.
You need guest correspondents. We've had Brett Nielsen on from Utah. And now we're really super-duper double excited to have Carrie Cox on as a guest correspondent. She is the author of the blog Travels with Birdie, and she's from the great state of Missouri.
Right.
And we have her on tonight. We're going to talk about two things, really. She's a relatively new RVer with her family, so we're going to talk about some sort of rookie RV mistakes she's made, or her family has made, and what they've learned. And then she's going to give us an awesome guest campground review on a really, really beautiful place called the Old 86 Campground, about half an hour from Branson, Missouri. So we'll be back in a second with our newest guest correspondent, Carrie Cox from Travels with Birdie. So we are thrilled to be here with Carrie Cox, a new guest correspondent and the author of the Travels with Birdie blog. How are you doing tonight, Carrie?
I'm doing great.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
And thank you for having me.
And we are so excited to have somebody from the heartland, right?
Yeah. More geographical diversity.
Yes. We've talked with Brett from Utah, right? Out west. And we've got the East Coast covered. So now we got someone smack dab in the middle.
We want a correspondent in every state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're taking applications.
Since we have listeners in every state. The health benefits are great.
Oh, yeah.
So just to be clear, you're not Birdie. Okay, so tell us, who is Birdie?
Well, when we bought a camper, we are the kind of people who felt like our camper needed a name. And with our literary background, we came up with Odysseus as one possibility, but that just really didn't roll off the tongue. And our camper is a Jayco Swift, so we considered Swifty. And then we noticed the bird decal on the side and went with Birdie. Just thought it was a cute little name.
Love it. And we love your logo, too, on your blog as well. So tell us about where you live geographically and your family.
Sure. We're from southwest Missouri near Springfield. And this is a beautiful area of the country. A lot of people maybe don't think of Missouri as a travel destination, but we're here and we find lots of things to do around us.
Here at RV Family Travel Atlas, we think of every state as a potential travel destination.
We live in New Jersey,
which is not usually high up on the RVing bucket list. You know, like Glacier, Yellowstone, Jersey.
Right. Who do you go on these adventures with, Carrie?
Very good. I have a husband named Russell, and we are both fortunate to be teachers, which leaves us some travel time in the summer, which is nice. And we have two boys who are 10 and 13, Ben and Sam. We have one of them who is very excited about traveling, and the other one who would much rather stay at home with video games and Wi-Fi.
Okay.
And on your blog, it says that his only test for the quality of a campground is the strength of the Wi-Fi signal, correct?
Okay.
So we recently read one of your blog posts that we really enjoyed, and it was about what can go wrong when you're RVing. And we should mention again, you're a relatively new RVer. And I really liked this post because it kind of hit on three, you know, major lessons that you need to learn when you're starting. So let's walk through those. Tell us about the refrigerator incident.
Well, on our first RV trip, we went to the grocery store on our way to our campsite and got all of our nice cold groceries and put them in the refrigerator. A few hours later, we opened it and discovered that everything was warm and the refrigerator wasn't making any noise. So, of course, this made us panic because your home refrigerator makes, you know, at least a little bit of noise as it blows the cold air in.
Right. You got the clicking.
Yes. So I automatically assume that our refrigerator has died, but I Google it and try to read all of these helpful websites. And luckily, they reassure me that, no, that's how RV refrigerators work, that they apparently pull the hot air out, but you need many, many hours for it to do that. So now we've learned that you should turn on your refrigerator maybe the day before and let it cool off and then put your food in.
If it makes you feel better, we did know that and we still forget to do it sometimes.
Yeah. I got a text message, what was it, last week or 2 weeks ago?
Our last weekend trip, yeah.
At work, and it said, run home and plug in the refrigerator.
Yeah, because Stephanie works close to home and I work a little bit further away, and I realized I did not turn on the refrigerator. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of my jobs, and I do occasionally forget. But I guess we would recommend to our listeners 24 hours?
Yeah, we usually do it the day before now.
24 hours, you're golden. Mm-hmm. But you could probably pull off even 6 to 8 hours.
I feel like for food safety, especially since I actually cook a lot of meals ahead of time and, like, put the casserole, you know, in the refrigerator, like, I want it to be nice and cold. So usually just the day before we do it, and then we feel good about it.
So new RV owners, get that refrigerator on the night before is really the best rule, I guess.
Yeah.
The night before
leaving for a trip. Yeah.
Now, when we were pop-up camper owners, that was actually a little bit of a pain in the neck.
You used to run the the cord through.
It wasn't as easy to get the refrigerator on. So now you had a tire safety
issue.
Now,
we've talked about this before.
You're not an RVer until you've had a tire blowout.
So
you're part of the club now.
Yeah. So what happened?
So tell us what happened with the tire.
The day that we were taking off, I did see that the tire looked low and thought, I should check that. You know, I mentioned it to my husband and he said, no, we can check it at the gas station up the road when we saw it for gas. And that sounded fair enough. So that way we could go ahead and air it up. And we got to the gas station, filled up, and my husband went inside where he happened to find a wiffle ball set. And for some reason, this excited him a lot. He says these are hard to find. So he comes running out of the gas station with the wiffle ball set, very excited to show us what he bought, and hops in the car. And then we take off, forgetting totally about the tire.
What's
so we're driving on the highway maybe an hour or so later, and my husband says, you know, this feels really weird all of a sudden. Yeah, exactly. You have to have priorities in life. So he says, this feels really weird. And I look out the window and I see smoke pouring out of the side of the trailer. And I'm like, we're on fire, which really we weren't on fire. But when you see smoke, that's what you seek.
Absolutely.
So he pulled us over and we hopped out of the car. And luckily, our 13-year-old son is very mechanical and handy. And with the three of us, we were able to, you know, get the tire off and get the new one on within, you know, 30 minutes or so and get back on the road. So it wasn't a huge tragedy, but it really, you know, could have been. And when I hear about a tire blowout, you know, it sounded a lot more dramatic. And I was really, really thankful that we got by with just, you know, a 30-minute delay and a quick change.
Yeah, and we had a major blowout last summer on the way home from New Hampshire, because I used to check the tire pressure on the way to a destination, but not on the way home. And so I didn't check the pressure on the way home, but we had spent 16 days at the campground.
Right.
Jeremy says now
I
check every traveling
day. I have religion
day.
On tire pressure. And I also want to say, and I'll put this in the show notes, the link to the podcast episode.
Where we interviewed Walter Cannon from the RVSEF.
Because we've now talked to Janine Pettit. And she had a tire issue.
Well, it's really the number one safety issue.
Right. And then Walter Cannon, talked about the issue so much. And we realized that this is maybe the best thing that RVers can do to stay safe. Like, this is the number one thing.
You need to check your tire pressure on any traveling day. So now I check it all the time.
Yeah, you do. You're
absolutely. So you got lucky. We got lucky, too, also when we had our blowout. So now you also had some issues with a propane incident.
So tell
us about that and what went wrong there and the lesson learned.
Sure. We were on our way home and stopped to get some gas, and we could hear this beeping coming out of the trailer. At first, we thought it was something in the gas station beeping, you know, and we just kept looking around, what was that? And finally realized it was our trailer beeping. And open the door, and the smell of propane just comes pouring out.
Which is scary.
Yeah. So we realized this was definitely not good. And hopped up in there after it aired out a little bit, hopped up in there and realized that we had been transporting our bikes in the RV, and one had fallen over and turned the stove on because...
Wow. I know, it's crazy. Like, what are the chances, right?
I know. And, of course, we didn't know that we probably shouldn't have been traveling with propane on. Since then, we've read a lot of give and take on that issue. Some people believe it's great and it's fine and they have it on for their refrigerators. Some people are, of course, highly against it because it is dangerous.
That's too funny because we had this very same conversation last week.
On and on in our house.
Because, I mean, we traveled for years with the propane on to keep the fridge cold. And then I kind of started to think, and started to hear people say not to do it, but Stephanie wants to keep the food cold.
Well, I said, well, this is why I have an RV to transport food, and you're telling me I got to turn it off.
Yeah, so we traveled with it on last week. So, yeah, that is a hot topic.
I mean, if you, I don't know, tricky.
I mean, obviously, if you want to be as safe as you can possibly be, it's better to travel with the propane off.
Yes, or at least definitely don't have your bikes in there.
Right. Or maybe get some, locking devices for the, you know, the knobs or something. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if they exist, but I just...
No, but someone said, someone told me they pop their knobs off.
Okay.
So. That's
all right.
A good
that works.
Get.
Yeah.
Now, even after all of these incidents, apparently you still love RVing.
Yes.
So, and it, look, it's part of the experience for everyone to have these stories. That's just part of the journey and part of the adventure. So let's talk about your campground here. So what campground are you reviewing, and what did your family love about it?
All right. This is the old Highway 86 campground in Branson, Missouri on Table Rock Lake. I know the name doesn't sound very glamorous, old Highway 86, but...
I think it sounds very glamorous. It sounds like Route 66 or Americana.
Yeah. So it is just a beautiful, beautiful place. When I Instagrammed a picture of it, I wrote that it was a $1 million view for $21 a night. And... it's just been one of the prettiest places we stayed at and one of the cheapest places we stayed at. We picked it to be our first campground because when we first got the travel trailer, everybody said to go someplace close. And we are lucky to live by the tourist destination of Branson. But we didn't want to stay, you know, right in Branson. We wanted a nice, quiet place to stay. And we had seen old Highway 86 actually from the lake for the first time. We'd went out on a boat with a relative and just saw this beautiful peninsula with all of these campsites under the trees, and all of the campsites are right on the water. So I was like, wow, someday I want to stay there. That's just such a pretty place. And at the time we didn't have our own camper. We figured we'd be staying there with my husband's family, who we usually travel with. But then soon enough, we had our own camper and went down to old 86.
So describe the sites at this campground, because they looked pretty beautiful.
They looked great. And we'll link to your blog post. But just tell our listeners a little bit, what are the sites like?
Sure. In 2011, there was actually a flood on the of the lake. And so they redid all of the campsites in 2012 and made them just really nice, flat, perfectly level campsites with terraced slopes down to the lake. And I think about 75% of the sites are actually on the lake. So you have this gorgeous view. You can walk down your steps and hop in the lake if you want to. You can fish right from your campsite.
You described that in the blog post, you talked about how there's kind of two different spots where you could do swimming, like right in front of your site. But then there's also a spot for swimming that was maybe a little bit more kid-friendly.
Exactly. Yes. Because our spot had, you know, the regular rocky area that goes into the lake, and our boys are big enough that they could kind of manage that. But if I had small kids, I would want to take them up to the, swimming area because it was a nice gradual slope and they had put sand in there. So it was really comfortable for your feet and, had picnic tables and things right close to it.
Now it also looked like you almost had like a patio, you know, site in front of your campsite that looked over the water, like with the picnic table and everything. I don't know that I've ever seen that on a
$21 a night.
The sites are mostly gigantic, and the way that ours curved around, we just had this whole little corner of the peninsula right to ourselves. And we later walked around the campground several times, you know, to see how many of the spots were that pretty. And the majority of them are. They just really are nicely laid out and have really nice campsites with right on the water. There are some interior sites that do not have water frontage. So if you book a site there, the best thing to do is go to the recreation.gov or recreation.org website. I forgot which one it is. But if you Google Old 86, it'll take you to the right one. And they let you pull up pictures of each campsite. And then they also tell you how many feet to the shore it is. And then it'll tell you if it's not a waterside site. So that's really helpful.
Good tip. Now, these were water and electric sites, not full hookup sites, correct?
Right. That is the one downfall. But again, for $21 a night, you can't beat it. And so they do have a dump station.
Any other amenities for the kids in terms of playground or volleyball or anything like that?
Yes, they have a playground, a volleyball area, basketball, and you can fish from anywhere on the shore. And they say that there's snorkeling there. I guess if you bring your own equipment, you can hop in the lake. They also have a boat dock there. So if you bring your own boat, we noticed a lot of boaters in the campground because then you can just hop right in the water.
So there were not necessarily rentals, but if you brought your own kayak or something like that, it looked like a great spot for that.
Right. And there's a lot of places in the area that do rent boats. So if you want to rent one and drive it over to the campground to pick up your family, you could do that too.
Now, do you think it's hard to get reservations at this campground or not really? It's pretty open. You can do it on the spur of a moment.
Right. We booked probably a couple of weeks in advance.
Okay.
And we were going in late July, so that would definitely be prime laking season. So wouldn't say it's terribly hard. Probably.
Okay, good. That's good to know. So somebody can go on. You know, some of these, like the state parks and everything, people book them like the year to the day in advance.
Yes. I noticed, I was going to say also, some of our state parks require a 2-night stay on weekends, and this place doesn't. So if you just have one night to get away, you can still go down there and do it.
Is it part of the state park system in Missouri?
It's actually a Corps of Engineers park. And I don't really know a lot about what the Corps of Engineers is or what it does, but I noticed
they rent campsites for $21 a night, apparently.
They do. Really nice.
Now, what about things to do in the immediate area, or do you really need to go to Branson for sort of other restaurants, family activities, etc.?
Right. So this was another caveat of the site. When we had the refrigerator fiasco, my husband did have to go back to the nearest town to get groceries. There are a couple of convenience stores right up the road from this campsite, but to get to a full grocery store, it's about 20 minutes there and 20 minutes back. So I kind of felt like my husband missed most of our camping trip because he had to go to town for supplies twice. So you're not super convenient to anything. This is the place to go if you want to relax by the lake.
Okay.
But if you want a night out on the town, Branson is about 30 minutes away, and it has all kinds of entertainment. Got its start kind of as a country music show place. But in recent years, they've really added a lot for families. There's theme parks like Silver Dollar City and Whitewater. There's all the go-kart tracks and miniature golf. There's a nice shopping area called Branson Landing that's right on Lake Taneycomo, another lake in the area. And so there's just a lot of things you can do.
And that's about half hour from the campground, so within striking distance?
Exactly.
So yeah, that's not too far. But what is a recommendation you have for dinner there? Do you have one?
There is a brand new, we didn't get to eat there because it wasn't open yet, but there is a brand new place that everybody's talking about called Top of the Rocks, which is a world-class golf course. The founder of Bass Pro Shops actually is from Springfield, Missouri, and has done a lot of developments in the Springfield and Branson area. And so he just opened this golf course area, and I hear that the dining there is fabulous. But again, we haven't been there yet ourselves.
All right, sounds fancy.
Sounds like a reason to return.
Sounds like someplace I'm not bringing my three boys.
Not with our kids. with our kids. We went to, I think, a little Mexican place called Little Hacienda. That was very nice, local cooking. We really like to use Yelp anywhere we go and see if we can find a local place to eat at.
All right, excellent. So you have a big summer adventure planned. Why don't you tell us where Birdie is going to be taking you this summer?
Yes. We don't know if this was our greatest idea ever or our worst idea ever, but we are setting out on a cross-country trip to Yosemite in California. My younger son, the one who's not excited about the trip, said he was looking at a map and he said, "Mom, do you know that is all the way across the country?"
Oops.
Yes, I do know that. In fact, I'm the person, who's been plotting this on the map.
Yeah.
But we decided that, it was a dream to see Yosemite. Ever since we saw the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, we have just been, the John Muir, the mountains are calling, I must go kind of people. And Yosemite is just definitely that huge trip that I've been dreaming of. And we decided if we're going to drive all the way across the country, you might as well see all the things we can see along the way. So I've always heard Santa Fe and Sedona are beautiful places. So we're going to check them out. We're going to see the Grand Canyon, of course. And when we were in California, we decided we needed to go all the way over to the ocean so our kids can see the Pacific. So we're going to go to San Francisco and spend a couple of days there. And we hope.
I'm leaning towards best idea ever.
Yeah. This sounds like an amazing idea.
I'm heading. So, and you've already learned your lessons with tire safety, propane, and refrigerators.
Yeah. Surely that's all that we need to learn.
And you're going to be taking lots of good notes so we can get more campground reviews from you.
Yes. Yeah.
How many weeks or how long is this trip total?
This will be about 3.5 weeks. So we've sketched out and made reservations all the way through, getting us there. And then on the return trip, we're just going to play it by ear and see if we want to stop at a couple more places or, if we're all ready to go home.
Ooh,
so
the benefits of RV travel, people. Yes. Right there, right? I mean, you can kind of make it up on the fly.
Okay. Well, now you're going to be maybe blogging about this as you go, right?
Yeah, I hope so.
So tell everybody where they can read about
your information for your website, your Instagram, your Facebook. Give us everything.
Sure. Everything is under the name of Travels with Birdie. And you can find us on Facebook, and our website is travelswithbirdie.com, and on Instagram, it's travelswithbirdie.
Yeah, and we love your pictures.
And I have to say, we really do like your photography, and that's where we first ran across you there.
We love your writing, so we look forward to your
stories. Yes, Carrie's actually a real writer, which most bloggers are not. Most bloggers are just bloggers.
I had to put that English major to use somehow.
Good for
you.
And I have to say, it looks like you like to do a lot of nature photography.
I do. Yes, I whenever I don't get to get far away from home, I just try to take pictures of what's around me and look for something new and pretty every day.
Well, we look forward to seeing all those great photos you're going to take. I'm sure that's a big part of the fun for you too, right?
It is.
RVing and photography go together so nicely.
We do.
So thank you so much to Carrie Cox from Travels with Birdie, and we hope to have you back on the show sometime soon.
Thanks, Carrie. Sure.
Thank you so much.
So what's up for next week's episode?
Hey, boo-boo. We're going to be reviewing a Jellystone Park as guest correspondents for Camp Jellystone. We're pretty pumped and excited for that.
Yeah, we'll tell you all about our experience.
And how to steal a picnic basket.
Yeah.
Remember when we went to the Jellystone Luray last summer, the boys were all worried that Yogi Bear was going to steal our picnic baskets?
Let's get this straight. They were not worried.
Initially, they wanted to. When we first showed up, they were all stressed out that Yogi was going to break into the camper and steal the picnic baskets.
Oh, yeah.
Then after 2 or 3 days, they were like, Mom, Dad, can we leave out a picnic basket so Yogi Bear comes and steals it?
They were trying to bait Yogi Bear.
Watching their evolving relationship with Yogi Bear was like fascinating. We are really pumped and excited to be heading back to Camp Jellystone for Memorial Day.
Do you think we can score an interview
with Yogi?
Cindy?
Boo-boo?
Boo-boo?
But they don't talk. At the campground. We'd have to work our way around that.
Yeah, we'll try to work that out.
Maybe we
can interpret their looks for our audience.
Yeah, we should have them come visit. They do visit your camper if you want. You can do breakfast with Yogi bedtime with Yogi.
We have a new little piece of equipment.
Which is?
The GoPro.
Oh my gosh, the GoPro with Yogi Bear visiting and doing a Yogi Bear tuck-in.
Exciting.
That'll be the first time a GoPro has ever been used for such a purpose. Also, join us next week as we surprise 3 of our listeners by showing up at their homes and packing up those kids for their next RV trips.
Ooh,
we'll show you how it's done.
Madness.
And we'll leave a message on your voicemail. Thank you so much for joining us for episode 36 of RV Family Travel Atlas. A special thank you to Carrie Cox. Check her out online, travelswithbirdie.com. Also on Instagram and on Facebook under the same name. We love our guest correspondents.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Take care.